Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, sometimes you have a sermon you want to do, and you kind of take a real familiar text like we have in the gospel for the day, and then you have a seminarian come in, you're going, oh, I should have pulled out my A sermon, you know, really impressive. So, I don't know, I'll let you be the judge. If I get a C or better, I'll be happy. It is such a familiar passage to us. Jesus tells us the story of the Good Samaritan. And sometimes it becomes so familiar to us that we kind of lose sight of the things that are really important in it. Certainly, you know, one could look at it and hear the moral of the story, to befriend enemies. And, you know, that's certainly a good way to look at it. But I think there's something even deeper that we need to see as Christians. Because we're not, as especially as Lutheran Christians, focused on just creating moral people. But people who understand their great need for our great God. And so the gospel becomes the very important aspect of every reading and every part of our sermon preaching. So I'm going to venture into this and retell you the story that you've probably heard 1,000 times. The younger kids, maybe not so much. So sometimes I think it's important for us to reset the story. So a lawyer, somebody who's saturated in the Word of God, comes to Jesus and, according to Luke, wants to test him. You know, they were always trying to trap him. I don't know if this was a test or a trap, but it wouldn't be unfair to say that it could have been either way. And he asks Jesus the question, "Teacher, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" I hope your ears are kind of burning a little bit there, because what do I need to do to inherit doesn't really match, does it? It's just being. Being a part of the family is what allows a person to receive the benefits of an inheritance. Has nothing to do with what we do. But Jesus goes along and says to him, "Well, what is written in the law? You're a lawyer. You ought to know this. How do you read it?" And what he says is, he answers, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind." And as Jesus had done in another place, blended another text, "And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." I think Jesus was kind of impressed at that moment and said to him, "You've answered it correctly. Go and do likewise." Well, I love the way Jesus redirects your thinking. You know, he could have just walked away at that point, been very proud of himself, or, you know, but maybe he still needed to test Jesus. And so he says, and Luke records, desiring to justify himself, he says to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus, being the great storyteller that he is, now you may consider this a story, you may consider it something that he had actually heard. Maybe it's a real life account, it doesn't tell us. But he just says, "A certain man." Now I'm inclined to think that this certain man was probably Jewish. It says that he was leaving Jerusalem and headed towards Jericho. So he was on that road. And as he was going down that road, he fell among robbers. That's a dangerous place. There were a lot of crags and, you know, pathways through where robbers could hide and jump out and surprise you and attack you. So it probably wasn't an uncommon thing. And they stripped him, they beat him, and they left him half dead. Probably thinking, you know, we'd done our part. He probably won't last much longer. Now, by chance, a priest, Jesus continues the story, comes by the scene. He sees the man, and he passed by on the other side. And so likewise, the Levite. This is a tough passage for clergy to preach because we're talking about clergy here. A Levite goes by and he sees the man and he does the same thing. He passes by. There are probably many legalistic reasons, priestly things that they were to avoid. You know, you don't touch a dead person because that would make you unclean. And so there's a chance that the man could die while you're in the process of helping him, and then you're unclean. Who knows exactly what their thinking was? The point was, they saw a man in great need, and they left him there. And then Jesus continues, a Samaritan. Some of you know who the Samaritans were. Samaritans were generally from the northern part of Israel. The northern kingdom, you might remember, at one point the Assyrians had come in and completely wiped out the northern kingdoms. And they had brought their soldiers in, and so they had intermarried with the Jewish women. And so a lot of the Samaritans that lived in that part of the region of Israel were actually half-breeds, half-Jewish and then half-Assyrian. And so they were looked down upon those in the southern kingdom, in Judah, as those who were impure. They didn't have a solid bloodline. So, impure, you know, no good. The Samaritan comes by and he sees the man. And what is his response? He has compassion. Whoa. Not what you would expect. Especially if the man was a Jewish, who was the guy who was beat up. Chances are, a person like that might say, oh, I'm going to stay away from him. Why should I help the enemy? But he had compassion. What did he do? He bound up his wounds. He spared no expense. He took out some oil and wine and bandaged those wounds with it. He set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn, brought him to a motel or hotel. He paid for his way, gave him 2 denarii, a couple of days' wages in order to take care of the guy, and then made the promise that whatever was spent, he was going to go away and come back. Whatever was spent, he would pay that as well. Wow. So Jesus then turns his attention back to the lawyer who's asking the questions. And I love his questioning. He says, which do you think acted or proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And he said, rightly so, the one who showed mercy. You know, I think we all tend to be like the Levite and the priest, don't we? Of first concern would be those who are closest to us. That would be our immediate family, then maybe our extended family, you know, then maybe those that are in the church, and then maybe those in the community. You know, but somewhere along the line, we might have to draw a line and say, okay, this and no further. We've done our obligation. We've been a neighbor to our family, our extended family, our church, our community, and we've stopped. This one went beyond. And so Jesus is redefining neighbor, not in terms of proximity. In other words, Jesus isn't worried about race or his ethnicity, maybe even not even worried about his religion at that moment, but in terms of vulnerability. We need to remember that. That is such an important concept. It's not about proximity to the person. It's about their vulnerability. Every human being, Jesus says, has inherent worth and dignity. That's how he looked at us. You know, the scriptures tell us, Jesus said himself in John 5, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. That was the main question, wasn't it? It is they that bear witness about me. Remember how I said, it's not the important thing is not so much just the moral of the story, and that we should be better people and treat our enemies with respect, which we should do. But this story is really a story about Jesus, isn't it? Jesus is the one who doesn't look at class, and he doesn't look at race or ethnicity. He doesn't look at any of the categories that we have and border it off with, you know, is this close enough? Are they close enough to my family that I can serve them in their time of need? He busts through all those boundaries and says, it's not based on proximity, but on a person's vulnerability. So when we see someone in need and needs help, what moves us is compassion. What moves Jesus to come into this world, take on human flesh, and dwell among us sinners was his great compassion. God saw our great need because of the sin that had infiltrated our lives, had robbed us, beaten us, left us, scriptures say, not just half dead, but dead, spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins. And in his great compassion, reached out to humankind and gave up not just his livelihood, he gave up his very life for us. God gave us in Jesus his compassion. He bound the wounds that have been inflicted with us with sin. He gives us the Holy Spirit, the oil of God, so to speak, to heal our wounds. And he takes care of us and provides for us. That's the very heart of Jesus. So while this story, the moral of the story is a good one, and we should love all people, we should help people that are vulnerable and in need, please don't forget the motivation for wanting to help. Isn't it that Christ came into our world because he saw your need and my need? He saw our sin that was killing us and wanted to do something about it. And he gave up his very life to give you his life. I mentioned at the very beginning during the absolution, Christ just doesn't offer us forgiveness of sins, which is awesome. But he offers us life in him, a life that spans from the moment Christ comes into our hearts at holy baptism to the point of eternal life. And that, of course, is unending. And God gives us the treasures of heaven. It would have been gracious of him just simply to forgive us and say, okay, I've forgiven you, now don't break any more commandments. But he knew us, and he not only forgave us, but he gave us his life so that we might live in him today, tomorrow, the days ahead, and into eternity. That's the motivation for extending the hands of mercy and compassion to other people. And if we lose that, we're just simply being moralist like many people in the world. If this passage isn't about Jesus and how he interacts with us in the world, we've lost sight of what Scripture is really trying to communicate to us. You know, in John, also in chapter 8, Jesus has explained to them that, before Abraham was, I am. He declares his divinity. And after that, the Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan? What a cut. And yet I think Jesus would wear that proudly as he told that story. He was truly the good Samaritan and beyond. He is the divine God who came into our world, who died, who rose again, who promised and gave, delivered his life to us. That's something to rejoice in, but it's also something to remember as you extend those hands of mercy out to the world And I encourage you to do that. But please, please, please never forget that the story is about Jesus and how he has interacted with us in our vulnerability, and he has healed us. Go thou and do likewise. Amen.